The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was much perplexed by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born to be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
See you.
get a phone call. Now, the man at the pizza shop, whether this is true or not, he heard some news that he probably just didn't believe. You know, news isn't always something that we can believe. And whether this story is true or not, it's really not important. Like I said, I got it off of a link on Facebook, so I'm pretty sure you can take that into the bank. It's got some questions that surround it. But in our gospel text today, we also have news that we receive that's very difficult to understand and believe at first, especially if you're a young lady named Mary living in the first century, and you have an angel who come visit you and tell you you're going to have a baby. From out of nowhere, the angel Gabriel shows up. "Greetings, Mary, most favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, if you were in the middle of the night getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to you and said, "Greetings, the Lord is with you," you're probably a little bit startled. Mary was a little startled. She wondered what kind of greeting this would be. The angel says to her, "Don't be afraid." That's a stretch. Mary's got to be figuring, is this a dream? Am I hallucinating? What kind of a thing is this going on? She pondered all of these things as the angel was there before her. And Gabriel assured her, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And now, for good news, you're going to conceive a child. You're going to bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." Imagine hearing that good news. Imagine hearing having an angel appear before you telling you all of these things. Mary's response makes sense. The question that she asked the angel, it makes perfect sense. How will this be? Especially that she's a virgin. How will this be? It seems impossible. You know, Mary must have had a dozen thoughts going through her head. Things must have been rushing through her mind so quickly. How could it be that I have found favor with God? What did I do where God would smile upon me so greatly? How does it be that God would do something impossible through me? Who am I to be favored? You see, Mary understood that she wasn't worthy of such good news. She understood that she was weak and insignificant. She was nobody. Nobody special. Yet God had chosen her. She had found favor with God. Consider all the things that go on in the world today. Consider all these things. When we hear the story of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, consider all the things that were going on in Mary's world, all the trouble, all the strife, the oppression, those things still continue today. Wouldn't we be asking the same question? How will this be? How will it be that God comes into our world and saves us? How will it be that God brings peace to a world that's torn apart by such violence and conflict? How will it be that here, even locally, God will come into our community and reconcile it? How will it be that God uses our congregation to do all of these things? How will it be that God comes to us as individuals, comes to us as sinners, as insignificant people, and does impossible things to our lives? How could it be? How can it be that God is going to save the world through all of this and maybe even use us as instruments in that? Certainly, God saving the whole world, God reconciling everything unto Him, would be our hope. It should be the hope of every single Christian. It should be what's on our hearts and our minds the most, the thing that we most desire. But how will it be? Can it really happen? When will it happen? Well, I can tell you right now, it can happen, and it already has happened. God sent His Son into the world to save us. That through Him, we would be forgiven of our sins. That through Him, all those who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior would be forgiven and saved from sin and death and the grave. And in order that we might be able to tell the world that Lord, that the world might find out this good news. God sends his people into the world to be his messengers. Just like he sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and Joseph, he sends us into the world. Make no mistake, we're no more worthy than Mary. We are sinners in need of redemption. We are ordinary people. We have ordinary struggles. We are prone to temptation. We fall from time to time. All too often we stray away from God's precepts and we follow the world's fancy. Yet through Christ Jesus, God sees us differently. Through Christ Jesus, he sees us as forgiven people. He sees us as reconciled. He sees us as blessed and he finds favor with us, forgiving our shortcomings. We have found favor with God. Through the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven by that child of Mary. We've all been chosen like Mary to do mighty works. We've all been chosen to be heralds, as it were, to the rest of the world, to tell the good news of Christ Jesus, especially at this time of the year. We're all people of humble means. We're all people who are perfect, yet God has chosen us to do this thing. The question is, with all of the things that Mary had, all the qualities she had, finding favor with God, and knowing that we are the same as Mary, do we have that one more thing than Mary had? Do we have her willingness to be a servant of the Lord? Do we have the willingness of Mary to do the things that God has called us to do? Do we have the willingness to let the Holy Spirit come upon us? Let the Holy Spirit invade our very bodies? Do we have the willingness to believe that in this Holy Spirit coming upon us and empowering us to do these great things, do we even have the willingness to believe it's true? You know, Scripture says, with God, everything is impossible. And believe it. Yes, that's true. With God, nothing is impossible. And God can do mighty acts for you, for me, and for all God's people. We all know this so well. We all know our faults so well. When we look in the mirror, we know that, you know, what could I possibly have to offer God that he would do impossible things through me? We all know our faults. Deep down, we all know those hidden secrets of our lives. Many of us say to ourselves, how is it that God can work through a person such as me? Who am I to do my thing? If God really knew what kind of person I was, he certainly wouldn't choose me. He would choose somebody else. You know, and we all have lived lives that have been less than what God hopes for. But God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up on us simply because we're sinners. God doesn't give up on us simply because we're weak or because we lack confidence. He doesn't give up on us because we have limitations. He forgives those things. He forgives our shortcomings. He forgives our sins. And he calls us to be his children. And he calls us to wonderful possibilities. The transforming power of Christ. The same transforming power that fell upon Mary. It falls upon us as well. When we become God's willing servants, we can do these mighty works of the Lord. God does them through us. We don't accomplish them on our own. God does these things through us. And we become part of a much larger hope. A much larger hope for the world. The hope we heard about in Mary's Magnificat that we read in between our first and second lessons, where the song would normally be. That song is, you know, that's inspired by Miriam's song as the Israelites are delivered from bondage from Egypt. And Mary recalls that, and she sings a song akin to that, inspired by that same Mary from so many years ago. Speaks of the hope people have in God. The hope of God's mighty acts of mercy and justice. Mary speaks for those things on behalf of herself and the world. For those people who love God, for her generation and for many generations after. The hope for the lowly, the hope for the oppressed, the hope for the hungry. That God would fill them with prayers. And so God chose her. Made an unlikely choice. Chose a young woman to be the bearer of her son. That this good news might come into the world. But the fact of the matter is, there's another unlikely choice that's been made today. There's another unlikely choice that gets made every single day that we get up and we remember that we are God's children. People of God, the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary, speaks to us in the Holy Scripture. The same Holy Spirit comes down upon us. Pours out His love, His mercy, His grace. Pours it out in great measure to us. Chooses us. He chooses us also to join the rest of God's people proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been chosen to go out into the world. We've been chosen to go out into the world, beginning here in Chapin, throughout South Carolina, indeed throughout the whole world, and tell everybody about God's love made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's called us, He's chosen us, He's gifted us and empowered us to go do all those things that Mary's saying about. To fill the hungry, the poor, the forgotten with good things. How will this be? What a great question. How will this be? Well, it's because with God, nothing is impossible. In Christ, we have found favor with God. Through our baptism into Christ, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has equipped us and empowered us with gifts for such ministry. Through the Holy Scriptures and through prayer, through the hymns that we sing, God speaks to us His word of truth. So that we might have the good news on the tips of our tongues to share with all those whom we meet. And when we get weary, when we're tired, when we're hungry ourselves and empty, God calls us to His table and He fills us with that precious food from heaven, the bread that's broken, the wine that's poured, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. He nourishes our faith. He strengthens our resolve. He forgives our sins. And send us back out into the world. In all of these things, the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows us. And like Mary, we're called blessed. The world may not believe the good news. The world might look at us as we proclaim these news and say, they sound like an FBI agent calling a pizza shop in San Diego. But you know, as we spread the truth of Jesus Christ, as we tell others, we become bold witnesses, sharing the news that is so good that it fills the hope of the whole world. How can this be? Because like Mary says, we're servants of the Lord. And let it be with us according to His word.